All righty. Well, we got 2025 started with a bang, I think, last week. And Pastor Van and Pastor Steph came to me a few weeks ago and shared with me, you know, they just wanted to start the year sharing the vision that God has been stirring in them. And they graciously invited me to be a part of that as well. And so the three of us kind of had a tag team preaching session up here last week. And for me, it was a blast. It was so much fun. And I've heard some positive feedback from the folks in the congregation as well. So who knows? Maybe we'll do that again at some point down the line. Who knows? But it was a lot of fun. And I appreciate, gosh, the words that have been shared this morning by Marty, by Mike, by Sharon. The Lord has a flow. He has a way of communicating that, if we're open to it, can land on our heart and make a difference and can literally change our lives. And as we were worshiping, the sense I had is that there are those who are in the sound of my voice that will hear the word of the Lord and say yes to what he wants to do. They will surrender to the word, and they will be almost like you know, the guy that shot out of the cannon at a circus. It's almost like that. They will run. They will be shot. They will be catapulted by saying yes to the word of the Lord, by surrendering to the word of the Lord, and they will run with the word of the Lord. And some will even say, wow, I don't even think that person's been walking with the Lord that long, but look what they're doing in the kingdom. Yes, that's what's going to happen. People are going to be catapulted in the kingdom as they say yes and surrender to the word of the Lord. Amen? Yes, yes. I want to be in that group. I want to say yes and surrender and be catapulted in the kingdom. How about you? Yes, yes, yes. Well, I have a couple of things that I want to share this morning. And, oh, good, I have time. Maybe I'll take some of Pastor Van's 3 hours that he's going to preach. No, I won't. I won't. I won't. Just kidding. Just kidding. People get a little squeamish when you say stuff like that. So, no, I'm going to stay on track here, okay? But if you want to turn in your Bibles real quick, I just want to look at a quick scripture out of Luke chapter 1. And this is something that we've gone over before. This is when the angel comes to Mary, who will eventually be the mother of Jesus, and he speaks some things to her that hardly seem possible to her. This young woman who is at best engaged but has never been with her fiancé, and the angel announces to her that you have found favor and you are going to be with child and you will have a son. And she questions this and says, how can this be? I have not been with a man. I haven't done what it takes to be with child, if I can be blunt. How can this be? And sometimes the Lord speaks stuff to us, and it may not be the same type of thing. Obviously, it's not. But it seems just as impossible to us as it seemed to Mary. It seems just as impossible. How can this be, Lord? How can this be? And the angel gives a very brief explanation of what's going to happen. And then he reminds Mary that your cousin Elizabeth, who is beyond childbearing years, and oh, by the way, even when she was in childbearing years, she was barren. She's with child now, 6 months, right? And then the angel says this, in verse 37 of chapter 1, for with God, nothing will be impossible. With God, nothing will be impossible. As we come into this new year, with God, nothing will be impossible. I mean, we look around and we see a reality at our home. We look around and we see a reality in our workplace. We look around and we see a reality in our church here. And we think about what's possible and what's not. But I am happy to announce this morning that with God, nothing is impossible. The work situation that seems like it'll never get better, the marriage that is so tough, and I don't see any way out of it. Look around here. I mean, we've been believing for more people to come in, and the Lord is starting to bring some folks in. There's more. There's more that He has for us, because with God, nothing will be impossible. I heard a sermon recently by Bill Johnson out in Redding, California, and he was mentioning this verse, and he was remembering years ago they had somebody come into their church to minister. His name was Jack Taylor, I believe. And Jack was studying this verse, and he was going into, again, the original language, and the word for nothing is actually two words in the Greek. It's no, and then it's rhema. With God, no rhema will be impossible. And he said the definition of rhema is a freshly spoken word, right? And so Jack Taylor said you could actually interpret this verse this way. With God, no freshly spoken word will come, but that it contains the power necessary to perform itself. Come on. Come on. With God, nothing will be impossible. With God, no freshly spoken word that He speaks to me will not come to me, but that word contains the power necessary to perform itself, to manifest itself. Amen? Think about it this way. I have a walnut tree in my backyard, and I pick up a walnut, and it's this little small thing. It's green when it first falls off, and then it dries, and all the yucky stuff falls off, and then you're left with a smaller nut. But everything that's necessary to grow a walnut tree is in that walnut, right? Now, it needs the right type of soil, and it needs sunlight, and it needs water, and it needs all that other stuff. But it doesn't need anything else than what's in there to grow a walnut tree. Amen? And that's how it is when we receive a word from the Lord. As sure as I can plant that walnut in the ground, and as long as I care for it properly, it will grow into a walnut tree. As sure as that walnut is going to grow into a walnut tree, no freshly spoken word with God doesn't come to me, but that it contains everything necessary in it to perform itself, to manifest in my life. That should give us great confidence. That should give us great hope. Amen? He is a good, good Father. And all he's looking for is our yes. All He's looking for, what we sang about this morning, is our surrender. Amen? You know, a lot of times we lift our hands in worship as an act of worship. We had a pastor years ago, Pastor Al Hamm, who used to kind of put this spin on it. He said, at times, I'm lifting my hands in surrender to God. Like, I surrender, you know, that type of thing. And as we do that, the Lord can work with that. The Lord can do something with that heart that says yes to Him and is surrendered to that freshly spoken word. And that's exactly what Mary did in this situation. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your rhema. And the angel departed from her. Where it says word in the Greek, that's rhema. Let it be unto me according to your freshly spoken word. Mary didn't have it all figured out. She didn't have all the answers to her questions. But she said yes to God, and she surrendered to that freshly spoken word. Ah, I love that. I love that. So with God, nothing will be impossible. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. So, Marty was so good and shared some of the things that Pastor Van and Pastor Steph and I shared last week. And of course, I was in Ezekiel 37 talking about the dry bones. And one thing that I mentioned kind of at the end of my time was this idea of being intentional and looking for opportunities to come alongside somebody who is stepping out to do the thing that God's called them to do. And coming alongside that person and being a Barnabas the way he was to Saul. Be an encouragement, right? Trust me, when Saul met the Lord, his life was changed forever. But the way people perceived him at the beginning did not change one bit. Except for people like Barnabas, who saw the change in this man's heart and recognized the call that Paul had on his life. Amen? So let's be Barnabases to Paul. Let's be a Mordecai to Esther. So here we are in Matthew chapter 20. In order to lead others well, we must serve others well. Amen? Matthew 20, verse 25. These are Jesus' words. Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man," referring to himself, "did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." If we want to lead others well, we need to serve others well. We need to lay down our lives for others. As Christians, we are little Christs. We are followers of Christ. And we follow his example. He says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life, so we as his followers are called to give our lives and to serve others, to come alongside others." Amen? If we want to lead others well, we need to serve others well. Flip back to Philippians real quick. We've been involved in a time of prayer, Trish and I and some others, to start the new year. And Trish has shared with me multiple times that Philippians, the Lord is just highlighting Philippians to her, and the Lord's just giving her so much out of Philippians. Philippians is an awesome letter. I love Philippians. And we kind of see Paul in a different light through this epistle, because he really had a heart for Philippians. Of course, he had a heart for every church that he started, but he really had a heart for Philippians. And you see his father's heart come out in this letter. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Verse 4, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And that's exactly what I'm talking about here this morning. As we go through 2025, listen, God is launching people into kingdom work that we thought was never possible. Look at what Paul accomplished. This guy who used to waste the church, as Scripture says. And he became the Apostle Paul and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. What is God going to launch that person into that you come alongside and help? Or maybe you're the person that's stepping out and somebody, you're waiting for somebody to come alongside you. This is important stuff that we're talking about. What if Barnabas never shows up for Paul? Boy, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? Especially for we Gentiles, right? Yeah. And so I believe this is what the Lord is putting his finger on in our lives. Let's be intentional. And look, it's not that you have to have a PhD. It's not that you have to have, you know, continuing education. I'm not downplaying that at all. I'm just saying, like Mary, when we give him our yes and we surrender, the freshly spoken word has everything in it needed to manifest, right? And so let's give ourselves to the Word of God. Let's not give ourselves to our abilities and how we can figure it out. Let's give ourselves to the Word of God. Let's surrender to that freshly spoken word. Let's surrender and say yes to his rhema that he's speaking to us. Amen? Let's go to Acts chapter 9 and just look at a couple things real quick. You know, we were in Ezekiel 37 last week. And we were talking about the Valley of Dry Bones. And, you know, the Lord took the prophet there in the spirit to this Valley of Dry Bones. And he asked him, can these bones live? And we talked about this last week, how, I mean, put yourself in that situation. And you're there in a valley of dry bones. And there's a lot of them, there's a lot of bones, and they're very dry, which tells me they've probably been there a while because they're very dry. And think about it, if the Lord asked you that question, just in your natural mind, our answer would probably be no, right? I mean, if I'm looking at this valley of dry bones, and he comes off with, can these bones live? I'm like, are you kidding me? Can they live? They can't move, let alone live. And then the Lord says, prophesy to the bones, because I'm going to bring sinew and skin and breath into them. And again, we could say, well, that sounds good, but where are the organs? Where's the heart? You don't have me prophesying over a heart. Where's the lungs? Where's the brain? Where's the other stuff necessary to make these bones live? But again, no freshly spoken word comes but that it contains the power necessary to perform itself. So the prophet had a rhema word from the Lord in that vision. And so while there may have been some apprehension, it looks like his faith overrode his logical reasoning, and he prophesied the word of the Lord over those dry bones. Amen? And again, we can be in a situation ourselves that feels like a valley of dry bones. God's able. God is able. Or maybe the Lord's going to bring you along somebody, alongside somebody, and maybe they're in the valley of dry bones. And at first glance you say, I hear what they're believing for, but I don't know, is that possible? It's possible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And so we need to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, as the Word talks about. Amen? Because it may not just be, pray for me, I have a cold. Okay, I'll pray for you. It may be something much more severe, something much more drastic. But with God, nothing is impossible. So in Acts chapter 9, and I just want to highlight a few quick examples and then we're going to wrap up. In Acts chapter 9, again, the Apostle Paul, well, he was Saul at the time, is on the way to Damascus, and he encounters the living God. And you guys remember this story. And this light comes and knocks him on his tail, and he's blinded. He has a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord gives him some instructions of where to go and what to do. And then it kind of goes from there. And so he has this life-changing encounter with the God of the universe. And so as a result, he wants to share this good news with as many other people as he can, right? he's been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and that's a big deal to him. And he wants to take that message to as many people as he can. Well, of course, prior to this experience, he was wasting the church. He was there consenting whenever Stephen was stoned. And that's what people have in their mind when they think of Saul. Not that he had this great conversion on the road to Damascus. But Barnabas comes on the scene, right? And that's where we kind of pick it up here in verse, where are we? Okay, so Saul is wanting to share the gospel with others. He's wanting to connect with other believers. And it says, verse 25, then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. He was in this place, and people were trying to kill him, so he escaped. Verse 26, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Right? Again, because the last thing they remembered about Saul is he was wasting the church. But now he's had this encounter with God, and it's changed his life completely. And he wants to walk in the call that God's placed on his life. Just as impossible as it seemed to Mary that she would conceive a son without doing what it takes to conceive a son, people thought it was impossible for this killer, this terrorist, to become a man of God and preach the gospel. But Barnabas. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. I love Barnabas. His name means son of encouragement. And let me tell you, Barnabas was an encourager bar none. If it wasn't for Barnabas, it's a different ballgame, I think. But Barnabas came alongside this known killer who now has Jesus. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Verse 28, so he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Look, these are three verses we can just skim right over and not totally grasp what has happened, right? Barnabas just came alongside this man and helped to release him into his destiny. Help release him into the call of God on his life. Help release him into his apostleship. Think of all these churches that Paul traveled around and started. That's what Barnabas helped catapult him into. Amen? And that's what we can do as well. And I believe that's what God is asking us to do in 2025. Dry bones come alive in 2025. Amen? That goes for us, and that goes for the person I come alongside as well. Think of the man that led Billy Graham to the Lord. Did he have any idea this young man would reach nations? I've heard different reports. I think one number is like over 3 million souls are in the kingdom. It's probably a low estimate as a result of Billy Graham's ministry. Can you imagine? Did that country pastor ever think that was possible when he led young Billy Graham to the Lord? It is. Because with God, no freshly spoken word comes, but that it contains what's necessary to produce itself. Amen? And that freshly spoken word was all that Billy Graham needed to go reach the nations for Christ. Think of the possibilities. Think of the possibilities. Go back to 1 Samuel 18. I think we're going to finish on this one and wrap up. This gets me so excited. And again, that's why it's so important to remember, if we want to lead others well, we need to serve others well. Because listen, if it is all about me and my kingdom that I'm building, we won't come alongside Jack Squat, will we? If I'm the three most important people in my life, I'm not even thinking about you. Right? If the day starts and ends with me, you're not even a consideration. If we want to lead others well, we need to serve others well. Again, Paul says, look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen? Amen. So here's a great example of that. This is Jonathan, the son of King Saul in the Old Testament, not Saul who became Paul, not Saul Paul in the New Testament. This is King Saul in the Old Testament. And so it's Jonathan, his son, and David. Okay, and it's right on the heels of David having this incredible victory as a very young boy. He defeats the enemy's champion, and Israel has this amazing victory, and they plunder their enemy. And right on the heels of that, now think about this. This is King Saul. He's the king of Israel. His son, Jonathan, who would be next in line to serve as king of Israel, right? Because that's how it went back then. It was the whoever was serving as king, very often his son, his oldest son, would be the next king. And so Jonathan is in line to have the kingdom. But right on the heels of David having this incredible victory, Jonathan realizes something. Jonathan notices something about this young man, David. And in chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "Now when he had finished speaking," talking about David, "to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore." Verse 3, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul." So Jonathan sees something in David, and they have this brotherhood, this soul brother relationship that they come into, right? Which is great, which is good. We all need those close friends, those people that we trust, those people that we know love us, those people who we know have our best interest in mind, and we have their best interest in mind, and we share things with those people that we wouldn't share necessarily with other people, because we know we can trust them. Right? And that's good, but it goes beyond that. Did Jonathan recognize something about the call on David's life? Let's read verse 4. "And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt." Now listen, this is more than just Jonathan giving David his hand-me-downs. This is very significant, because this speaks of the position that he is in line to take over as king. And Jonathan, totally contrary to how things worked back then, totally contrary to tradition, must sense something and says, "I know how it's supposed to work, but I think God is doing something else in this situation. I think God's doing something else in this young man's life." And he gives it all to David. Wow. What represents the throne that he should eventually come to, he relinquishes it all to David. It's not that he doesn't want to do it. It's not that he's not able to do it. He's grown up in his father's house. His father's been king his whole life. It's maybe not even that he doesn't want to do it, but is it that he recognizes that God is taking things in a different direction, and I'm going to give my yes to him, and I'm going to surrender to the will of God? Could that be what's happening here? Maybe so. Maybe so. And so as we come alongside other people, maybe God will ask us to do something similar. You know? I believe that we will never regret saying yes to God. I believe we will never regret saying yes to God. Regardless of how difficult it is, regardless of how challenging it is, regardless of how contrary to what I want it is, I believe we will never have regret when we say yes to God. And so with that, would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Dry bones come alive in 2025. We're building up. We're building on. We're building together. God has an inheritance for his people here in this region that we are receiving as we press in and say, yes, I surrender to you, Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's just raise our hands to heaven. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that this is the day you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we surrender to all that's in your heart for us. We say yes to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.